Welcome to the Edge Up Podcast with your hosts Reed and Glenn from Hawaii Trading Academy. This episode, guys, we're going to be discussing and sharing some of the common myths and lies when it comes to trading. Some we fell for ourselves personally and we have learned. And so we're going to be just touching all types of different topics and hopefully you guys find value in it. So listen in.
I like this question and I want to ask you this. What is the biggest lie that you were told that held you back the most in regards to trading specifically? So I'll be example was you have to be green every single month in order to be consistent. Like that's a lie, you know? So yeah. What do you think? Like you've come across that you've actually believed and implemented in your systems or your psychology. Like I want to start off this podcast. Like, what do you think is the biggest lie that held you back as a trader?
All I need is a right strategy.
All you need is the right strategy. Yeah, man, I feel that. Or I would say one strategy. You focus on one strategy, you could become successful, yeah, for sure. But you have to put in a lot of dedicated work and backtesting, gather that data. But
as like when I was starting out, right, I was, you know, a lot of traders searching for the holy grail.
Yeah.
That ultimate trading strategy, right, that made tons of money, this and that. Oh, this person's killing it. You know, all I got to do is learn what they're doing and just replicate it and I will be successful. Little did I know, you know, I spent all my time on strategy. And, you know, I go buy the different platforms, the tools to help. And, you know, it just led down it was a snowball effect. Me searching for that false hope of having the ultimate strategy.
It doesn't exist. The golden... I would say I've fallen prey or I've fallen victim to that because like I would see the marketing aspect and it's not necessarily, oh, this strategy returns this amount. I thought that like, oh, this strategy looks like I could implement it with this strategy and then I could start combining like all four strategies or five strategies all together as one. And my ego was like, create your own strategy. You know, like, so like that, I think that can hold you back is trying to find like everything like technical that you could implement into the strategy. When really, if you just stuck with one all along, you probably would have been successful a long time ago.
Well, that if you stuck with that one and it wasn't the right one, then you wouldn't be successful, right?
I mean, that's true, but I'm just saying like, I guess if you stuck with it with the right action, I mean, yeah, each strategy has to fit your personality. Like each trader, I mean, has to fit a certain trading style. Different strategies could help influence that.
Yeah. And I think that's something that's part of the learning curve. You know, we start off with a strategy that I think it's like the end all be all. And then the market teaches us a lesson, punches us in the face, and takes our money and runs, you know. Is either us as a trader be willing to accept that and be willing to learn, or double down on the ego and double down on like, you know what, I messed up, I just got to do this one thing and stick to it. And that was like the fork in the road where it could prolong your learning curve and make it really rough if you just allow your ego to hold on, or you could just make things easier, well, hopefully speed up your learning curve and go the other way, you know? And I think traders just don't know. We don't know what we don't know, right? And when we start out, we just get that tunnel vision and kind of just tying it in with like mental awareness, right? We're just not aware of what trajectory we are going down with if we just continue the actions we're doing, which is just looking up, YouTubing how to find the best strategy.
Yeah, YouTube is not the place to find your strategy, in my opinion.
I mean, but, there's probably a small percentage of people who did, you know?
Yeah, for sure. There's always a certain percent. Makes me think, though, like you're talking about when like a strategy hits the rough patches, and then a trader, especially when you're new, you're like, oh, the strategy is starting to lose. I'm going to switch or jump ship and do a different strategy. I think that just comes down to them not having enough data to, like, expectancy, right? Like, oh, I need to know that I'm going to lose X amount of times before my strategy starts working again.
Yeah, I think that that's something that has to be learned, you know, in the through the tough lessons, right?
Yeah.
Just understanding the performance of a particular system and accepting the fact that it won't work every time.
So, like, I'll bring it back to the question. Can you name any other examples of, like, what maybe not you in particular, but like lies that traders, especially new traders, hear that is potentially holding them back?
There's a, I don't know if I, I think some people, some traders, I mean, because we're very, like, you can call us entrepreneurs, you know. And what I see commonly with a lot of entrepreneurs, myself included, that was that we would be thinking too small. And we would think that we would have some underlying beliefs that we carry from our, you know, being a childhood into and bringing it into this trading world, and such as like money is scarce, you know, and I'm only going to operate at this level because that's how I operated all my life. And I'm going to start getting into trading and I'm just going to operate the way I've been operating. And unless they, you know, they're going to go down that trajectory, and maybe they get lucky and end up with success, but most likely they won't be successful, because trading, like for myself, it opened up a brand new world of just opportunity. The think is so much bigger, you know, the potential is so much bigger. I think just wrapping, being able to understand the potential a trader can make, of course, money wise, but the growth is such a thing that a lot of people maybe not even be discussing, you know, the potential of trading, the potential of growth in yourself.
You know, almost goes full circle. Like you're talking about like a scarcity mindset.
Yeah.
When, because again, I know this, I started off with that, right? And speak from experience here is, I thought that you had to, well, two things here to answer like a lie that held me back is like you have to be green every single month in order to call yourself consistent. If you lose 1 month, but you were profitable for 3 months, you've lost your consistency. You're no longer consistent. It's almost like you have to go back to the drawing board, right? I had that in my mind, and probably that's probably why I psychologically jumped to a lot of strategies. But it comes back to the scarcity mindset, and that, like, another lie is, oh, 2% is too little bit. I'm reading this book called The Mastering the Mental Game of Trading by Stephen Goldstein. And he talks about one of the traders, he was only making 6% a year. That's it. That's all he was making. And so, you know, there's traders out there that's making 6% a week, 6% a month. Like, it's very doable. But like we're talking hedge fund money here, and this guy, that 6% was in the $10 million range, right? But when we're starting off and we have that scarcity mindset, we're looking at 6% or 4%. We're like, that's so little. I need 10% a month. I need 20% a month. I need more. I need more. I need more. And like no matter what level you get to, you always think more. And like that's greed, that in coming into the psychology aspect, that's lack of, yeah, your scarcity is, you got to change your mindset. And like I think in the end, with for that answer to like really resolve that is like it goes back to data. We talk about this in every single podcast, man. Just about, but like when you really do have that data, you know you can anticipate what you should be returning, and then once you're really confident, then yeah, you could definitely size it up in your positions and make more percentage. But I think that the lie in between all that is like you need to be green and you need to be big green. Just 1% is barely making you consistent. You mm-hmm. know what I mean? Like mm-hmm. people will like believe that. And like, we don't want to encourage that thought process.
I mean, another lie. I mean, I agree with that. But another lie that I just thought of too was like us small traders, you know, have no chance against the big funds, the big hedge funds. You know, a little retail trader cannot win in the game because it's biased, right? But in reality, you know, like people, they just get discouraged. They won't even try to attempt to trade because of they get fearful or it's just overwhelming for them. But little do they know, you know, as a retail individual trader, we do have an edge, you know. We can get in and out of any position we want fairly quickly, unlike these other hedge fund or these bigger funds where it takes them a lot of time and money and size to move funds, and they because they do affect the market. But so
and they got to get approval from their supervisors and the head, right. the leads, their leads, and it goes up the chain, right? Like, I want to stop this position right now. Like, okay, let's go up. Let's talk about it.
Talk about it, right? Have a boardroom meeting. Yeah, but like we're nimble and we're able to maneuver quickly amongst these giants. And, you know, just that little perspective there is that switch is like we're able to watch the giants from afar and we could ride on their coattails, you know, such i.e. for example trends, you know, when the big money is in trends and we can just totally follow. We don't have to try to front run each other and what or hide our orders. But yeah, like from our stance, we do have an edge.
Another lie that you got me thinking about is stop hunts, man. Like these huge, huge corporations, they know that like our brokers, right? They know every single trader's positions and they're going to pull the market down to stop hunt these traders on purpose. Or like, because like when I was first starting, people would get, I would lose just by 1 or 2 pips. I'm like, oh, the market did that. Or like, oh, it was out of my control. Like I had no control of this. Like they're taking me out on purpose, you know. But I mean, that's just the name of the game, man. You're gonna win by just 1%, and then the market will reverse against you. You're gonna get stopped out by 1%, one tick, 1 point, 1 pip. You know, it's gonna happen. But like that lie, right? That's like, oh, I lost this trade because of something else, not me. I didn't do this. This trade works 90% of the time, but I got stopped out because of the stop hunts, man.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. That's another big lie there.
It's always the market, right?
Yes, yeah, always the market, dude. That's a big lie right there. Like victim mentality is a lie.
Yeah. Like,
this one is probably like the most common one is buy low, sell high. Like, you know, that you hear that everywhere all the time. Like, actually, I was talking to someone, they're like, oh, I'm in the Nvidia trade, you know, and it's popping, it's fine. I'm like, oh man, did you take some profits? He's like, no, why would I get out? I'm like, what? I was like, there's a pullback right now. Like, you wanna maybe take some off the table. And he's like, I'm like, what's the strategy, man? Seriously, he said that. He said the buy low, sell high. I bought low and I'm only going to sell when it's higher. I'm like, but you don't know the top, like, you know. So it's just it's a lie that's repetitive, that people know, right? And so
yeah, I think it just skews their idea. I mean, because ideally, yeah, like the bulls want to buy at a fairly low price and sell higher. But I think, and when it gets to our human brain, what we translate it to is buy the bottom, absolute bottom, and sell the absolute top, and leave, and take all the money on the table. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that is a lie in itself.
Bro, how's this son? Trading is an easy way to get rich. Or like get rich quick scheme. Like that's probably the biggest one that we see all across social media. Like even to this day, like it just changes forms. We got cryptos, like buy this meme, it'll get you rich. Buy this NFT, buy this product, and it'll get you rich fast.
I wonder if they crack down on the promotion of the crypto, like, you know what I mean?
Or is, yeah, like a lot of meme coin. Well, I know that it's like meme coin time right now. Like a lot of meme coins are popping up. So, or I guess it's not meme coins now. It's like shit coins, right? Like actual, or what is the official name? It's not shit coins.
Altcoins.
Altcoins. Altcoins. That's the word, bro. Altcoins.
I agree. It could be just shit coins, Adam.
Yeah.
1 penny, I'm rich.
Yeah. If price moves up 1 penny, I'm going to be super, super wealthy.
Uber rich.
Oh, man. You know, one thing, I didn't ever listen to this, but you don't need a stop loss. Oh, man. Someone tells you that, run. Pack your bags and run.
Yeah. Like, I don't even know where to begin with that one.
That's like the first lesson I taught my son when he's trading. You know, I'm like, I don't care what you do, you always need a stop loss. That's a given.
But you never get stopped out if you don't put one.
Yep, exactly, dude. Yeah, that meme, right? The big brain thinking.
Yeah.
I got one. You need to trade frequently. If you're a day trader, you have to place a trade every day. You need to trade frequently.
Oh, I heard that one. Successful. I heard that one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That'll lead to overtrading. That'll lead to, you know, stressful. Like, there's no opportunity, but I have to place a trade. I'm a day trader. That's almost like leading into gambling too. Because, man, that it once you start the trading train, bro, like it's hard to reel it back and like, okay, I gotta not trade today. You know, like that's tough.
It is tough. Yeah, you know, call us druggies if you want, but like, there's an itch and it needs to be scratched sometimes. But I think, you know, as traders, as you mature, you have to figure out how to become disciplined and, you know, ultimately protect your damn capital. You know, that's the goal.
That's all the main ones I could think of, man.
I remember somebody told me this. You told me this. You don't need to read books to be a trader.
I forget where I heard that, but I know I asked someone, one of my like very first like starting off, right? I asked them like, oh, what trading books would you recommend to read right now? And they're like, I'm not reading anything. I'm like, what? Like, to me, it would just, it shook me to the core. It made me question everything. I'm like, dude, Warren Buffett reads every single day. Like, and he's one of the best investors to have exist besides Nancy Pelosi. But, you know, like, and I'm sure Nancy Pelosi reads everything. It's just, yeah, man, I think reading is the foundation of a lot of success, if not all success.
For sure. For sure. I think without, like, I read more books for trading than I did in grade school.
Yeah. Oh,
say
true.
Proudly.
Oh man, now I remember that. Yeah, so they said they recommended one book one book and it wasn't even trading related. He's like, you don't need to read any more trading books other than this. And so I do want to point out Lance Berenstein, I believe, or
Gold right.
Berenstein. Yeah, yeah, yeah. He's an SMB capital trader, awesome trader, really great. But he had an X thread and someone asked him, like, or someone, he commented on someone's post and it said, like, if you don't need to read the beginner trader books. That was specifically the same. And he commented on it saying, yes, it's to a degree, of course.
Yeah.
Because after a while, a lot of books, I mean, they do repeat themselves. They talk about the psychology aspect. They talk about fear, greed. So there is that aspect. It's a lot of repetitive information when you're reading books. But I still find value in every single trading book I've read, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. I think, yeah, like for someone for those that tight 1% or minute or like that 0.1%, reading books may not be as beneficial. You know, maybe they get more kick out of writing the book, you know? Because they're at such a mass, like at a such a high level of knowledge and execution and whatnot, like they're looking at the small things that to improve on. And I think for the resources, like they're the ones dropping the dollars on coaching, like one-on-one high performance.
That's where
coaching,
the money is spent. Yeah.
Right. Rather than getting another trading book. And so I think the knowledge just changes form, you know, but the pursuit for growth and performance and improvement, it will always be there.
You got me thinking too, like my last point here is about growing. Is like, yeah, coaches need coaches, man. You always got to be learning. That's it. Have an open mind no matter where you're at. I think the best traders in the world, they still have coaching, man.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, I don't even think I know. They talk about it. They talk about it in their podcasts. They talk about it in their own books and in their X posts. Like, they talk about it.
Well, say, let me ask you this, right? Say a beginner or like a trader who wants to improve or start out, they go ahead and get a coach. Does that automatically guarantee success for them?
Negative. No. No.
So what is that big variable there? You know,
well, I always go back to just action, and the action, it looks in my mind, it looks like, okay, I take what my coach says and I apply that in actionable steps. I follow these actionable steps. And that's another thing, like a lot of books, man, they have these actionable steps, and I'll be the first to admit, I don't take action on a lot of these, I pick and choose what I want to hear. But like, you know, I've read technical books, right? And I just hear it and I'm like, you know, this is great for new traders, like brand new traders. And that's the point, right? Is like, if you actually took the actionable steps, you'll see improvement. What, like, for example, Trading Coach 101, I think Brett Steenberger, how to become your own trading coach. And he has step-by-step guidance in this book on how to improve your own trading. And I've implemented a lot of that stuff, like grading my trades. Like, I got that from him initially.
Right.
And then it's just applying that. Applying it is just, it's so, that is the game changer. And that's also known as putting in the work. You know, like you'll hear that thrown around a lot. Like, how do you put in the work other than clicking a button and placing a trade? You're reviewing that trade. You're taking the time on the weekends and you're putting in the time. Yeah, you're putting in the time and looking over the trades.
And all your friends is partying and bullshitting, you know, you're over there in front of the books, in front of the charts, and, you know, putting in that valuable time and work. But yeah, I mean, ultimately comes down to action, as you say, right? But you got to make sure you're getting good, great information. Because you could put into action bullshit information.
That's true. Well, how would you know, though? Is there a filter that you would recommend? or can you recommend that you
yeah do? I mean, like, if you're looking for valuable solid information, you know, just do your research on who's providing it. You know, where are they getting their information? What have they done in their career that you would reflect something that you want? You know, are they validated by others? You know, so like just a small due diligence. If it's just some random guy, all you see is his Lambos and whatnot and his flashy Rolex, then you might need to do a little bit more research, you know. You might be the person. Maybe if you want to be a great marketer, that's the guy to listen to. I don't know.
Dang.
But we throw out a lot of great names during this episode, that you guys can start with for sure, you know. And you'll definitely get lots of good information. That'll be a good start. And but at the same time, it still just comes back to you. You have to filter, like, find out for yourself what resonates with who resonates with you, right? And we recommend to just stick to like one or two main people. If you're going to follow them, stick to them, learn everything you can about them rather than trying to jump through all these different types of trading coaches and mentors, because you'll get confused. They're going to say things that could conflict with other people's teachings, and you're just going to be lost. So find people that you really like, you resonate with, you can trust, you find them to be authentic. Then go ahead and just deep dive, like just jump into Kool-Aid. Don't even tip your toes in it. Just full-blown jump in, commit. Because that's the most important thing, knowing that you're going to take the courage and commit to something full-on, wholeheartedly, rather than being half-assed and not even putting in any effort. You know, that's a recipe for no success. So make sure you find someone, fully commit, do whatever you can take, do what it takes, and you should find some sort of success in that way. At least growth.
That was a great episode, man. Thank you guys for listening. Thank you for answering these questions, man. That was a great episode. It's been fun, man.
Whether you're looking to improve your trading mindset and growth, we'll provide you with the tools, tips, and inspiration you need to make your next breakthrough. So tune in and let's edge up together.